Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
The devil has lost his grip on me, and he's lost his grip on you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What a joy it is to see you today, to study God's Word, to worship. Thank you, worship team, for helping us. Also, we want to welcome our streaming audience that's watching us online. We're thankful for them, and we hope that you'll have an opportunity to visit with us here personally in the future. Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Revelation, chapter 10. We have been involved in judgment. It has been about judgment, the judgment of God upon the earth. And I feel a little bit like in the movie Pollyanna. There was the preacher in that movie. Carl Malden played that part. And in that movie, he was, every week he came in and he would preach on judgment. I mean, every week it was on judgment. And they showed some of the folks that had gone home, and somebody said to the next one in that movie, they said, yeah, they said, judgment on top of ham and eggs every Sunday. Judgment on top of ham and eggs. Well, let me just say, I hope that you realize that God is a just God, and He must punish sin. He's also a loving God, and He's merciful, and He loves us. And I know this, there are people here today that need encouragement. There are people here today that need to know that Jesus loves them and that Jesus provides mercy. I also know that when you preach the whole counsel of God, which means you preach verse by verse in the Bible, you come to times of great mercy and love that the Lord shows, and we've seen it even in Revelation, but you also come to times of judgment. There is going to be an accounting for sin, right, church? So we are studying that, and a lot of what we're looking at is judgment. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, and some are married. Some just got married. Some have been married for a long time. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. But many here are believers, but not all. We're all sitting here today because we need the gospel. That's why we're here. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week in order to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded His church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Say it with me. Jesus is wonderful. Now, in the study of chapter 10, we see another mighty angel. Now, I'm not going to go back and review the whole book of Revelation, but quickly, we have been into seven seals. There are seal judgments, there are trumpet judgments, and then there are bowl judgments. We are in the trumpet judgments. If you remember, we had the first seven seals, and then there was a little interlude between seal number 6 and seal number 7. Now we're into the trumpet judgments, and we've studied that there's judgment against the soil, against the land, judgments against the sea, against the springs or the fresh water. And then a judgment in the sky. And then we studied last week where Satan releases demons from the abyss, from the shaft, and we saw that in chapter 9. And then the sixth trumpet, four angels are released from the Euphrates River, from that area of from beyond the Euphrates River, and they lead a war against the earth where one-third of the earth has been slain or will be slain. All this is futuristic in the tribulation period that has yet to come. And so when you take the fourth of the earth that was already destroyed at one point and the third of the earth that was destroyed, you're looking at half the population at this point has been destroyed. Now, at some point, the rapture takes place of the church. I personally believe that the rapture takes place prior to the tribulation period. There's many, many scriptures that indicate that the rapture of the church is an imminent event. In other words, it's the next thing that can happen on the prophetic scale. There are passages that talk about, I will deliver you from that evil day, from that tribulation period. And so, therefore, that's my personal opinion, although there are great scholars and folks that believe that comes at a different point. Some say at the midpoint. Some say sometime between the midpoint and the end of it. I personally am thankful that I landed on the beginning point, because the next thing on the prophetic calendar for me is that the Lord will return and will take the church. And then he brings a 7-year tribulation period. So all of these seals and all of these trumpets and all of these bowls happen during the tribulation period. I want you to think about this. When will sin be held to account? When will it happen? And then what is our assignment right now that there is time? What is our assignment to do right now as believers in Jesus Christ? Since there is time, the Lord has not returned yet, the tribulation period has not happened, so what is it that we're to do? So we're going to get that message, that lesson today, in a message entitled, Another Mighty Angel. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10 of Revelation. You follow along in your copy of God's Word, and I'll read from mine. It says, I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, 7 thunders uttered their voices. Now when the 7 thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the 7 thunders uttered, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. Verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the 7th angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Verse 10, then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Well, it says, another mighty angel. We find a mighty angel in 3 places in the book of Revelation. You can write these references down. In chapter 5, we've already seen 1 strong angel or mighty angel. In chapter 5, verse 2, we see the second occurrence right here in chapter 10, verse 1. And then in chapter 18, verse 21, we find another mighty angel. Some have said they believe this is Christ, that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem with that position is that it says another, and the word another means another of the same kind. In other words, just like the other angels, this is another angel of the same kind. So it doesn't quite line up that this would be the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a mighty angel. And what we see are 3 things in this passage that I want to highlight for you. The first one is this. We see a change in the pattern. What has been the pattern? The pattern is that John sees what happens as these seals are open and as these events in heaven, and he writes it all down. He absolutely writes everything down in this record. Matter of fact, the book of Revelation indicates that he is to write it down. That's why we're reading about it, because he has written it down. And yet the pattern changes. If you look at verse 4, now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. He was going to carry on the same pattern that he had done. It says this, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. So there is a change there. Now, this angel was clothed with a cloud. He was clothed in glory and majesty. He had a rainbow on his head, which indicates God's covenantal faithfulness to mankind. Represents, in one way, it represents judgment with his glory in the cloud, and then it represents his mercy when you see the rainbow. He had the face like a sun. It was a revelation of God's great glory. It's like when Moses was on the Mount Sinai, and he came off the mountain, and his face shone. He was in the presence of God, and it says that this particular angel's face was shining like the sun. He had feet like pillars of fire, which reveal his stability and holiness. And then he says he had a little book. Now, I think you can tell if you've been in this study with me in Revelation. There's a lot about Revelation that is very difficult as we look at it. Although the main themes are crystal clear, but there's some little details sometimes that are hard to just absolutely nail down. And as I was reading and studying, some believe that this is actually the seven sealed scroll. But he calls it a little book. He gives it a different name. So this little scroll is not the seven sealed scroll, but this little scroll is the revelation of the judgments that are going to come through these thunders that we see in this passage. He takes that other angel, takes his right foot and he puts it in the sea. He takes his left foot and he puts it on the land. He was evidently a massive presence. He had a message for everybody. His left foot in the sea, his right foot on the land, and a message for everyone. He cried with a loud voice like a lion. In Hosea, God speaks, and he says this in the book of Hosea. He says, the Lord will roar like a lion. It says that there are seven thunders that uttered their voices. You sense that he is announcing judgment. So evidently this little book, this little scroll, is a representation of the judgments that are going to come through those seven thunders. But he changes the pattern. Instead of that revealing, instead of him writing it down, instead of us knowing the details of those thunder judgments that are going to come, or those thunders and the revelation of what happens as those thunders are coming, he says, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. This is different. This is a change in pattern. Now, we have just come through the sixth trumpet. Right now, we're having an interlude. This is a little bit of a parenthesis in our study of, in our chronology in Revelation. We had the same thing in the sixth seal. When we did the sixth seal, there was an interlude, remember? And we saw in the interlude there, the sealing of the 144,000 that were on the earth, and we also saw people in heaven. We had a vision of earth and a vision of heaven. That was an interlude between the sixth and the seventh seal. Where here we have an interlude between the sixth and the seventh judgment. Trumpet, between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet is not actually sounded until the next chapter. So right now we have a little bit of an interlude. But there's a change here. There's a change in the pattern. Instead of John writing about it, he is told not to write about it. Now, what does this mean to us? Well, there's some possibilities here. One thing is that John was not allowed to share what was about to happen because there are some things that are left in the dark to us. There are some things that are secret to the Lord. Can I just make a statement, and you agree with me if you say amen if you agree with this? God is God. We're not. Can I say this to you? In all of our study and all of our relationship with the Lord, there are things that happen in this life we don't understand. There are circumstances we face. that I don't understand. Perhaps one day in heaven we will understand all of the things that are questions. But I believe we're here to worship today because the gospel helps us make sense of some of the things in life that we don't understand. So it could be just simply that issue right there. It also could be that the thunders were announcing more judgments, and God just didn't want to carry out those judgments. He already was giving us seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments. We haven't even got to the bowl judgments. Perhaps these were thunder judgments. Dr. Danny Akin, who I greatly respect, has done great study in the book of Revelation. He believes this is a partly the teaching here is that God, even in his judgment, withheld and showed mercy. You see this all in the book of Revelation. It's amazing how the Lord, even when those people cried out and they said they were under the altar, they had been martyred, they said, "Lord, how long before you make things right?" He said, "Wait just a little while." If there's one thing that is crystal clear from studying the Bible, and particularly from studying the book of Revelation, it's the fact that God is a merciful God. God is holding on as long as possible. Why? So that we might come to know him. We might have forgiveness. We might have mercy. So that the chains of fear would be broken in our life, and the sin that we have committed that would send us to a Christless eternity might be rectified and paid for in the shed blood of Christ. You say, what has to happen for that to happen in my life? You just need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin and I want you to become my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sin. I receive you as my Savior." The Bible says, "To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name." It's about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so some believe that the thunders, him not writing about it, the change in the pattern, is another demonstration of God's great mercy, that those thunders and whatever was written in that little book was not going to be levied against the earth. But the truth of the matter is there's some things we don't understand. There's some things God doesn't let us understand. When I was, my first ministry position out of seminary was right here at North Central. In 1985, it was a long time ago, Kelly and I came from Fort Worth, Texas to North Central Baptist Church to work with the youth. And it's a miracle that the parents allowed us to do the work we did, Chris, because we were learning, we were trying to do the right thing, and God blessed it, and we were grateful to have the opportunity. From there, I went to my home church in Jacksonville, and I'll never forget, I was about 28, 29 years old, and I was in the office one day, and a parent called me. They said, "Reverend Carr," they said, "our son has some real questions about God." And I said, "Well, explain it to me." They said, "Well, his best friend was just killed." And it was all over the news that one of the, a young man had left school and he was driving. He had epilepsy and he was driving an automobile. They had it controlled and he turned on Edgewood Avenue at the headquarters of the Winn-Dixie Company. There's a big brick sign. And he lost control somehow. They believe he must have had an epileptic seizure or something. And he lost control and he ran into that sign and was killed. His best friend was in our youth group. And his mom said to me, "My son is coming to your office right now. Can you help him understand why that happened?" Two doors down was my pastor's office. And I went down and I knocked on the door, and Dr. Jerry Vines, one of our co-pastors, was there. And I knocked on the door. I said, "Dr. Vines, this young man's coming by. He wants me to tell him why his best friend was just killed." He took me to a verse of scripture that I want you to go to today. Open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. I want you to see this. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, Deuteronomy 29, 29, Dr. Vine said this, Calvin, he said, I don't know why that young boy was killed. There are some things we just don't understand. And he took me to this verse and he said, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So I sat this young boy down and I tried to explain to him how that sin had come into the world, and because of sin and because of the free choice of mankind to choose that sin of their own volition, bad things happened. Sin was introduced into the world. And because sin was introduced in the world, death was introduced in the world. And because of all these things that had happened, somehow in the scheme of all of history, it was going to happen that this young man, he said, the young man said to me, Reverend Carr, he said, this was the finest friend I ever had. There was nothing, this guy was a great guy. He said, I just don't understand it. So I tried my best to explain to him. And I took him to this verse. I said, my friend, I said, I don't understand totally. But I know that there are some things that are secret that belong to the Lord. And the things that are revealed belong to us. Can I tell you this? I can't candy coat it. There's a lot about this life I don't understand. All of my ministry, I have been faced with situations. I've been faced with it in my own life. I've been faced with it in the life of my family. I've been faced with it in many situations. There's a lot about this world I don't understand. But I know one thing. The secret things, the things, the answers for it all belong to the Lord. And it could be that God put this in this judgment right here in order to reinforce to us that there are some things that are not going to be revealed. There's some things in our life that are not going to be revealed. And just like we sang about today, it is well because God, it is well with our soul because God is on His throne. There are answers that are not revealed to us yet. There are answers that will be revealed. There are answers that maybe, perhaps, will never be totally revealed. But God is good and God is on the throne. And praise God, in this life, I have the chance to know Him. Oh, the bliss of knowing Him. You know, in that verse we sang, Robert, it says, my sin, help me with that verse, my sin, yeah, oh, my sin, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought. My sin, not in part but in whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let me say this. The writer of that verse evidently said, my sin. And he was going to say that it was all nailed to the cross, but then he thought, oh, the bliss of this thought I'm about to write down. And he had to make that part of the verse. Let me tell you something. When I think back to my life and where the Lord has brought me from, the bliss of knowing that my merciful God would save an old boy like me is an amazing, amazing thought. In the midst of the unknown, in the midst of not knowing the answers to difficult situations, I am praising God today. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, not just little pieces of it, the whole thing God has nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more because Jesus has taken it. Can I tell you this? There may be some things I don't understand in this world, but I tell you, I'm holding on to Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm going to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sin and all that Satan has done has caused evil, has caused heartache, but God is going to bring justice to all of that situation, and that's what is basically happening in the book of Revelation. But I will say this, we see a change in the pattern here. This mighty angel, when he comes, there's a change because John was able to reveal the other things, and all of a sudden someone says, no, do not reveal it. Do not write it down. I want to ask you a question. You're going to have to trust God with some unknown things. As a believer in Jesus, you're going to have to trust God with some unknown things and put them in His hands. So not only do we see a change in the pattern, but we see a confirmed promise. In verses 5 through 7, He is going to once again give us the assurance that His judgment is going to make things right. If you look at verse 5, it says, He raised up His hand to heaven so as to take an oath. This angel, this is another reason why, we question whether this angel is Jesus Himself, because Jesus, it doesn't appear that He would be taking this oath. But this angel raises His hand. He's got the book in one hand, and He raises His hand, and He takes an oath. In verse number 5, it says in verse 6, And He swore by Him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. He answers the questions of the martyrs in chapter 6, verse 10, that say, How long, Lord, before You bring justice? And this angel raises his hand and takes an oath. He says, I will tell you this, there will be delay no longer. And if you look in verse 7, But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, in other words, when that angel blows the seventh trumpet, the seven bowls are going to come and they're going to be rapid fire. Now, y'all remember my illustration about the fireworks. I'm not going to do that again for you. Say thank you, okay? I'm not going to do that illustration, but you remember that the way that worked, if you missed that, that was something. But anyway, the point is, he has these seven seals, and then he has the seven trumpets. In the seventh seal are all the seven trumpets. And then in the seven trumpets, when you get to the seventh one, all of a sudden the bowl judgments are all in the seventh trumpet. And it's like rapid fire, like the end of a fireworks show when they blow off a bunch of fireworks quickly. It's what's going to happen in these seven bowl judgments. And so he says there's going to be delay no longer. And then it says this in verse 7, In the sounding of the seventh angel, and that's going to happen in chapter 11, verse 15, he says, In the sounding of the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be finished. Well, the word mystery, in the Bible, it means something that has been concealed is going to be revealed. So in the sounding of the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be finished. In other words, it's going to come to a conclusion in that seventh trumpet. Now, we have several chapters ahead of that. We're going to get into it all. But you're going to see it all unfold as that is revealed through the book of Revelation. So he says that mystery that what once was concealed is going to be revealed. In other words, the kingdom will come. Folks, God is making us a promise. He confirms His promises. Do you know that the Lord, there's so much of the Bible that are promises. We can know that God's promises are sure. Now, we fail Him. We fail the Lord, and I fail the Lord often. But can I tell you this? In all the years that I have known Him, in all the years that I have tried to study the Bible, in all the years I have observed the Word of God and the faithfulness of God, I can tell you this, I have never seen the Lord fail His children ever. He does not fail us. He keeps His promises. We need that hope in our life. We need that hope in our life. So we see this mighty angel, and he shows us a change in the pattern. Number two, he showed us a confirmed promise. It will not delay. Hold on, the judgment, the final judgment is coming. But then the third thing, we see a crucial charge. Now this is amazing. He says there in verse 8, look at it. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, Go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. And he goes on with his instructions. This is a crucial charge that he gives to John. Well, he is to take that scroll. What is that scroll? It's a revelation of those judgments. It's really a representation of God's word, God's prophetic word. He says, I want you to take it and I want you to eat it. To us, that means to apply it, to take it and to eat it. You know, the book of Romans in chapter 12, verse 2 says this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? You do that by getting into the Word of God. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, and verses 10 and following, it says this, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll. We see this in the Old Testament. The prophet Ezekiel was told, eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. You remember in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. It's like God's word is sustenance for us. It is, we are to eat it. We are to apply it into our life. We are to let it change us. Jesus actually quoted that verse in his temptation. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In Psalm 19, it says, the word is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, it says this, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So the word of God is bread, the Bible teaches. The word of God teaches us that that his word is milk and his word is meat. It's sweet as honey. The gospel is sweet. It's covered in mercy. It's covered in love. But then the gospel also, the word of God also can be bitter. Because sometimes we see judgment in the word of God. You remember me just talking about the dichotomy between the Lord's love and the Lord's judgment. So in some ways it's sweet as honey. It is, because we read the Word of God and we know the promises that we have, but it also can be bitter in our souls because we know of the judgment that comes for those who do not know Him. The judgment that comes for those who do not know Him. So we are to take the Word of God. We are to apply it. We are to eat it. By the way, a message from the mind reaches a mind, but a message from the heart can reach a heart. So we have to apply the Word of God. One of my prayers is that every time I teach the Bible, that I have let that Bible impact me before I try to deliver it to anyone else. If you're a Bible teacher, if you're sharing God's Word with your family, if you're leading a devotion, whatever you do, as you spend time in God's Word, you will impact others in a greater way if you will let that Word apply to yourself first. And then he says, you are to preach it. In verse 11, you are to share it or preach it. It says in verse 11, and he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. The phrase you must has a sense of spiritual obligation. And he says, you must prophesy again about many people, nations, tongues, and kings. We are to get the message out. Ladies and gentlemen, I never, until I really dug into Revelation like I've done in this last couple of months, I never realized the great missionary mandate that is a part of this book of the Bible. The missionary mandate, because the truth is, when judgment comes, the doors will be closed. That will be it. But ladies and gentlemen, right now we live in an age when the gospel is available to all. And for us to just enjoy the gospel ourselves without getting the gospel to other people is a tragedy. It's a travesty. That's why we must push to take people on the mission field. That's why we must push to get the gospel to people in our community. That's why we must build bridges through relationships to love people and get the gospel to people. Just like John, we have roles to play in God's missionary mandate. I want to close by just reading something that Chuck Swindoll said about this passage. He said this, just like John, we have roles to play in God's ultimate plan. We can't call ourselves apostles and we don't receive literal visions and revelations from God. We're not required to swallow prophetic books to utter inspired words. But each of us has been given a crucial mission to share the good news of salvation with the world. Yet, just like John, we must first internalize the message, allowing it to become a part of our own lives. It's true that the gospel of Jesus Christ involves both bad news and good news. Bad news about lost humans subject to divine judgment, but good news about the righteous Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who paid the complete penalty for us and saves us when we simply trust in Him. As ambassadors for Christ in this age, we must not only understand and accept the gospel ourselves, but we must also be able to communicate that message to others. So here's the question for you. Have you accepted God's commission on your life? Every believer under the sound of my voice, and I include myself in this with you, we have all been commissioned to get the gospel to people. There's time. These judgments have not come yet. There's time. And so, are we ready for the Lord to recommission us to take the gospel to people? This was another mighty angel, an interlude in the judgments of Revelation. There was a change in the pattern. There was a confirmed promise. His judgment is coming. It will be finalized. The kingdom is going to come. But then there was a crucial charge to John. Now you got to go out and prophesy. And ladies and gentlemen, that's our commission. We must go and make disciples of all nations. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer together.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.